Shalom, this is Billy Brim and the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast coming to you today from Branson, Missouri. Just a little while ago, it was the Saturday that's nearest the 5th or the 6th of November, and I came to Winoka Haskins prayer group to speak on that night to honor her for the many, many prayers she's prayed for Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks. She has prayed for years in Tulsa, Oklahoma, has a wonderful prayer group. And so we met, just a small group of us met, and I shared some of the things that I've been hearing from God. And some of them I shared in my September-October partner letter, which is posted online right now. And I'd been hearing a lot from the Lord recently regarding shakings. And I'm just going to read you from my prayer letter. August 3rd, 2011, Wednesday. Upon awaking, my first thought was, I need a united prayer scripture for noon prayer today. Acts 4:24 through 31 popped into my mind. Immediately, I thought of the fact that the place they prayed was shaken. Then I heard, "You pray in a much larger place. Believe me that the place where you pray is shaken." I knew it was the voice of the Lord, and I thought about it. Where do we pray? Well, we pray all over the world, around the globe, and we pray from a heavenly position at the right hand of the Father. So I said to the Lord, "Do you want us to pray about a shaking in the heavenlies?" I asked. And then I heard, "Shake down the heat dome." What weather experts called a stationary heat dome covered much of the U.S. that day. August 3rd was the hottest day ever in our part of the Ozarks. So I went to noon prayer with faith it could happen. The WWPs agreed and went to work in prayer. Within 24 hours, our temperature dropped 25 degrees. The Thursday noon weatherman said, "This is somewhat of a surprise, but it won't last." We needed it to last. In fact, an impetus to speaking to the powers of the air to shake down the heat dome was the fact that we had a living in the end of day's school coming, August 8th, here at Prayer Mountain. And that, we got a weather break that did last. During the school, it was cool, and we even had rain. August 4th, 5th were Thursday and Friday. The stock market plunged, a dreadful day in world markets with dire predictions of depression. I believe it is not the Lord's will that the U.S. and the world go into depression before we leave. So I said to my daughter, "When the students are here next week, we'll join with the WWPs and shake down the dark dome of economic depression." August 10th, Wednesday. During morning classes, I told the students our plan. We would join by live streaming the WWPs from all over the world, and what happened to the heat dome would happen to the depression dome. We were going to shake it down. 20 minutes before noon, a power grid that controlled our servers went down in Dallas. We lost the ability to stream. With the students at Prayer Mountain so primed to join the WWPs, initially I was disappointed. Then somehow we were energized. "I know those WWPs," I said. "They'll pray anyway." And they did. We got so many emails and letters. They knew it was the enemy, and they prayed right on through. Amazingly, they prayed the same thing we prayed. And though the economic situation is not good, the markets did not do what it was feared they would do. The Lord then began dealing with me about shakings. When He does such a thing, I begin to study His word on the subject. This led me, of course, to the following. Acts 4:31, when they prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled. Acts 16:25, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. I saw that the shakings began on the earth, where the body of Christ prayed. God worked with them, confirming the word they were doing. More than 30 years ago, the Lord gave me a revelation of Hebrews 12. He showed me that the place we work with Him in prayer is in heaven. I'm not going to go through all that revelation. You can get my prayer letter online, how God supernaturally took me up there and showed me how we pray on Mount Zion in heavenly Jerusalem. And I'm going to read that to you from the scriptures. Hebrews chapter 12 says in verse 18, "You are not come to the mount that might be touched, and that burned with fire and blackness, darkness, and tempest." Skipping down to the 21st. "And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake." That was a natural mountain, Mount Sinai. That's where the whole nation of Israel came out to make covenant with God. And he had asked them to be a royal priesthood, a kingdom of priests. They refused that. And so then they had the Aaron's family became the priests. He said to us in the 12th chapter of Hebrews, "You didn't come to that mountain." Verse 22, "But you are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to a myriads of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus the mediator of a new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel." We do business with God. Now, folks, I hope this doesn't shake you, because I heard him say this the morning I woke up when I was going to teach the prayer in Tulsa to Winoka's group. God said this to me, "Your prayer is answered before you pray." And then I thought, whoa, I didn't hear anything more for about half an hour. Then I heard, "Your business is to pray it from eternity, from the realm of eternity into the realm of time." Isaiah 57 says, well, I think we better go back and read that to you exactly. I just thought of it, so I haven't looked it up here, but I'm going to find it for you really, really well. Because this changed my mind. I used to say something like, God knows the future better than you know the past, and that's true. But there's something beyond that. Isaiah 57:15, "For thus saith the high and lofty one, that inhabits eternity, whose name is Holy." He not only knows the future, he lives there. He lives in eternity, the eternal realm. He's in no way limited by time, except in his dealings with man. I once heard the Lord say, as we passed over the international dateline coming from Australia back to America, the pilot announced it, and I heard the Lord say, "God invented time mathematically, scientifically, precisely. He measured out a piece of eternity for his dealings with man. Each passing second counts off time until the end of time and its usefulness to God." So time was for him to settle what had gone wrong with earth, what had gone wrong with mankind. God deals with us, of course, in a timeline, because we are creatures of time, but God is not. God dwells in eternity. And then I saw just recently, looking at this, Hebrews 12, verse 18, "You are not come unto the mount that might be touched." That's a natural mountain in the realm of time. "But you are come," verse 22, "unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem." The living God lives where? In eternity. So this tells us that when we do business with God, and you'll need to read my prayer letter. I don't have time really to go into the whole thing here, how God showed me how we literally come up and have an appointment with God, the judge of all, through Jesus, the better covenant. But look where it says we do our business. "You are come unto Mount Zion, the city of the living God." That means we do business in eternity. Now think about it. When I woke up, what for me as I'm doing this was this past Saturday, as I'm going to teach Winoka's group, I heard him say, "Your prayer is answered before you pray." Then sometime later, half an hour or so, I heard, your business is to bring it from the realm of eternity into the realm of time. I remember when years ago, 1962, I think it was, Full Gospel Businessmen in Phoenix. The Lord sent Sister Clara Grace there. Brother Kenneth Hagin was there, Kenneth E. Hagin. And the Lord spoke to them about they were two that could look into both realms, eternity and time. But you know what I think, folks? I think they were forerunners. And I think the Church of the Living God, as we grow up and move from glory to glory to glory, more into the image of Jesus, we'll be working, and we are right now, here on earth, we're working with eternity and praying as we work with God, bringing things from the unseen into the seen. Now, that was 30 years ago that God gave me this revelation on Hebrews 12. And here he said, "See to it that you refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spoke on earth, much more shall we, not we, escape if we turn away from him that speaks from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying, Yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifies the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire." I am seeing that in the latter days things will be shaken. And I am seeing that our working with him in prayer has something to do with it. The action in every case of those great shakings that brought deliverance began on earth with prayer. And I think God is saying to us, now, I'm going to use you. And one way to wake up people is to shake them. The Washington, D.C. earthquake shook people. I believe God shook, and this shaking came after God started teaching me about shakings and speaking to me about them. The Washington, D.C. earthquake shook people. I believe God shook the capital city of the nation, considered a superpower. Not every earthquake is initiated by the Creator. Some of them are just the natural results of faults that came not at creation, but at the fall of Lucifer or the fall of man. But I do believe the Washington, D.C. shaking was the hand of God. I believe it was a sign. The Lord is a sign-giving God. Now, I had talked about some of these at Winoka's prayer meeting, and when I got home that night, I was watching, I'm a football fan and basketball sports fan. I was going to see how the Oklahoma State game turned out and how the LSU Alabama game turned out. I had the television set on as I came back to my hotel room, and suddenly that television set almost shook off the table, and other things in my room were like rolling and waving and shaking. I smiled because I thought, aha, and it was an aha. Tulsa was shaking. Oklahoma was shaking. It turned out to be the strongest earthquake Oklahoma had ever had. I heard somewhere in all the stats flying by that they used to have like an average of 50 earthquakes a year. Now they had in the last past year about 1,000. Little small ones, but I think these were just natural things. But folks, just like God said, it's getting old. Things are changing. He's going to fold it up as a garment, and we're going to have new heavens and a new earth. Praise the Lord. Shalom. See you tomorrow.